This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. So just like you, he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to a special bonus episode of Hot Off the Wire. In this edition of our daily news program, we feature a selection of stories covering a variety of topics. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor of the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now, those stories from the Associated Press.
A new AP Nort poll finds that while most Democrats disapprove of how President Donald Trump is handling a crackdown on crime, a large majority of Democrats, 68%, see crime as a major problem in large cities. That's despite the fact that statistics show crime overall is down across the nation. While Trump remains unpopular overall, the new poll finds his approach to crime has earned him high marks compared to other issues like the economy and immigration. About half of U.S. adults, 53%, say they approve of his handling of crime. The vast majority of Americans, 81%, also see crime as a major problem in large cities. That includes nearly all Republicans, roughly three-quarters of independents, and nearly 7 in 10 Democrats. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
A pronounced drop in foreign visitors to the U.S. has stretched well into the summer. Figures from the National Travel and Tourism Office show more than 3 million fewer international arrivals in the first 7 months of the year. That downward trend emerged as President Trump returned to the White House. Tourism experts say factors including Trump's tariffs, strict immigration policies, and his rhetoric have made foreign visitors feel unwelcome. Some say those prospective tourists are sensing an outright hostility in America toward foreigners. And that preliminary data does not include travelers from Canada, where many residents have said they plan to stay away from the U.S. in protest of Trump's aggressive trade stance and talk of making Canada the 51st state. I'm Ben Thomas.
According to preliminary Census Bureau data analyzed by the Pew Research Center, more than 1.2 million immigrants disappeared from the labor force. The data includes people who are in the country illegally, but also includes legal residents as well. Researchers say that immigrants make up almost 20% of the U.S. workforce, with immigrants making up about 45% of those working in farming, fishing, and forestry. Immigrants make up about 43% of home healthcare aides, about 30% of all construction workers, and about 24% of service workers are immigrants. The nation is currently seeing the first decline in the overall immigrant population after the number of people in the U.S. illegally reached an all-time high of 14 million in 2023. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
An Army football player and his dad saved a man from flames after a car crash in New York. Army sophomore safety Larry Pickett Jr. and his father, Larry Pickett Sr., pulled a man from a crashed car just before it burst into flames near the U.S. Military Academy at West Point. Video of the rescue recorded by Pickett Jr.'s sister Lauren shows sparking wires surrounding the vehicle. Lauren got his reaction shortly after the rescue.
I was just thinking, I'm just grateful that we got him out, honestly. Because I really don't think that anybody else was going to, when we pulled up, there was already somebody standing there, but they saw the electric wire, and I don't think that they wanted to go get them.
Authorities say the white sedan smashed into a utility pole on Route 9W in Fort Montgomery, New York. That's about 4 miles from the military academy.
You're a hero, sir.
Audio courtesy of Lauren Pickett.
Homeland Security says 475 people were detained during an immigration raid in Georgia. The raid happened at a Georgia site where the South Korean auto company Hyundai makes electric vehicles. Homeland Security Investigation Special Agent in Charge, Stephen Schrank, said that the majority of the people detained were from South Korea.
This operation underscores our commitment to protecting jobs for Georgians and Americans, ensuring a level playing field for businesses that comply with the law,
He said the detained workers were part of a network of subcontractors and that the employees worked for a variety of different companies on the site. Hyundai Motor Group is South Korea's biggest automaker and began making electric vehicles a year ago at the $7.6 billion plant. It employs about 1,200 people. I'm Haya Pinjwani.
Hiring stalled last month with uncertainty over President Trump's economic policies continuing to cool the labor market. American employers added just 22,000 jobs, down from 79,000 in July. The unemployment rate is now 4.3%, the highest since 2021.
This is a no-fire, no-hire job market, and it's one where recently consumers and, let's say, workers have been enunciating their falling confidence in the economy broadly, and the job market is part of that.
Bankrate's Mark Hamrick says employers are essentially sitting on their hands, unsure of how the Trump tariffs and other policies will play out.
And those do not give employers any added reason to hire.
President Trump yesterday seemed to shrug off whatever numbers would come out today, saying he's more focused on job growth a year from now.
You're going to see job numbers like our country has never seen before.
A shift in tone from last month when the president fired the economist in charge of putting together July's disappointing jobs report. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
Valspar Ultra starts at just $29.98 a gallon. So we've got you covered when your daughter wants to paint her room again after last year's masterpiece of a unicorn mural.
Dad, please.
Or when you realize that maybe you went too hard on the greige.
I miss color.
Or when you are sure you wanted a home gym, but your elliptical is currently hanging your laundry.
What about a home office?
Shop everything you need for your next phase with Valspar. Available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
Families of some of the children who were swept away by the Guadalupe River joined Texas Governor Greg Abbott in Austin as he signed a set of bills reacting to the deadly July 4th flooding.
Improved and safer camp safety is now law in the great state of Texas. A law that will save lives.
At least 136 people, mostly in Kerr County, were killed. Abbott says grieving parents visited before the special session to urge swift action.
They pleaded that their daughters did not die in vain.
The new measures prohibit summer camp cabins in dangerous flood zones, require operators to develop detailed emergency plans, and allocate funding from the state's rainy day fund to help pay for warning sirens and improved weather forecasting. Matthew Childress, whose 14-year-old daughter Chloe was one of two counselors at Camp Mystic that were killed, says parents hope the legislation becomes a model for other states. Audio courtesy KVUE. I'm Jennifer King.
Google has been hit with a $3.5 billion fine from the European Union in an ad tech antitrust case. The European Union says Google breached the bloc's competition rules by favoring its own digital advertising services. It's the fourth antitrust penalty for the company. The bloc's executive branch, the European Commission, also ordered Google to end its self-preferencing practices and address conflicts of interest in the advertising technology supply chain. Google is planning to appeal and called the decision wrong, saying it'll harm European businesses. The decision comes more than 2 years after the European Commission announced antitrust charges against Google. I'm Haya Pinjwani.
American winemakers and drinkers have something to celebrate. No tariffs on the corks they're popping. The U.S. and European Union say cork is an unavailable natural product, and this week it joined a handful of other items exempt from a 15% U.S. tariff on most EU products. The carve-out is vital for Portugal, the world's biggest cork producer. On Antonio Amorim's company farm outside Lisbon.
What you are seeing, the cork harvesting season.
With workers using axes to gently extract bark from trees native to the Mediterranean basin.
This is an oak tree, but this is a special oak tree. It's a tree that generates an outside bark that every 9 years is harvested.
9 years may sound like a long wait, but it takes 25 years for a cork tree to produce its first bark for harvesting. Amorim says that's why the U.S. does not have its own cork industry.
Americans are not patient enough to wait.
And putting a tariff on Portuguese cork.
That would be imposing an additional cost for something that cannot be replaced with something else being produced locally.
So Amorim says Americans can keep relying on his highly skilled workers without paying extra. I'm Sagar Meghani.
Parents in Florida are divided over the state's move to end school vaccine mandates. Florida Surgeon General Dr. Joseph Latipo announced that the state plans to be the first to eliminate vaccine mandates in schools. Fort Lauderdale mother Yvette Fayas says it isn't a good idea.
Because we believe in science, and science over and over, it's like we have to believe in this.
But Lydia Clark, also in Fort Lauderdale, said her 7-year-old grandchild had never been vaccinated. Now she's ecstatic that she won't have to keep securing exemptions.
This is amazing. I believe everybody has an option. You know, if you want to vaccinate your child, you can. But I don't believe that it should have ever been enforced on any of us.
Florida already lags behind the nation in vaccinations. Only about 89% of kindergartners are immunized, compared to the over 92% nationwide. I'm Haya Pinjwani.
An Associated Press analysis finds girls lost ground on math test scores during the pandemic, and boys have recovered faster. The analysis found girls caught up to boys in math between 2009 and 2019. But from 2023 to 2024, the boys scored higher than girls in math in nearly 9 out of 10 school districts. The data was from average test scores for 3rd through 8th graders across 15 years at over 5,000 school districts in 33 states. Michelle Stye, vice president at the National Math and Science Initiative, suggests old practices reemerge during remote learning. When society is disrupted, she says, you fall back into bad patterns. Schools are now trying programs to boost confidence and interest in STEM subjects to reclose the gender gap. Federal employees who are transgender and gender nonconforming are dealing with fear, grief, frustration, and distress working for an employer that rejects their identity. Since President Trump took office, he's issued a series of executive orders declaring that there are two unchangeable sexes and banning transgender service members.
I think part of this, in my personal opinion, is designed to make us want to quit.
Leanne Withrow retired from the military and now holds a federal civilian role helping military families.
Help them out when they need resources or referrals, whether that's financial, legal, behavioral health, anything like that.
It can take her to remote sites, but her supervisors told her she was no longer allowed to use the women's restroom at work.
Generally, what I would have to do in that case is either curtail my visit and not be able to spend as much time doing those site inspections or staff assistance visits that I need to, or I would have to actually leave campus, like leave the armory and go use like a gas station bathroom or something like that.
Army veteran Mark Seawright quit the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission in June, citing a hostile work environment.
I refuse to go on in an environment where a presidential appointee is suggesting that it's okay to discriminate and harass people like me. I won't do it.
He says he was ordered to develop technology to scrub any mention of LGBTQ+ identities from the agency's outreach materials. Several of the employees interviewed by the Associated Press requested anonymity for fear of retaliation. Some, including Seawright, have filed formal discrimination complaints.
This administration would like to eradicate transgender and non-binary people from public life. It's not going to happen. We're here.
Trump's executive order, which defines sex as strictly male or female, states that its goal is to protect spaces designated for women and girls. Jennifer King, Washington.
A new poll finds many parents are struggling to balance their jobs and school transportation for their kids. The AP NORC Hop Skip Drive survey shows more than a third of parents have missed work to take their kids to school, and 11% have even lost their jobs because of school transportation issues. The burden falls even heavier on moms and disproportionately on lower-income families. A separate survey of school administrators found nearly half said school bus driver shortages were a major problem in their district. Some school systems don't offer bus services at all. Although the use of school buses has been declining for years across the U.S., many parents would like to see schools offer other options. Hop Skip Drive CEO and co-founder Joanna McFarland says districts need to reclaim the responsibility of making sure students have a ride to school. I'm Marcela Sanchez.
A new study shows promise in treating anxiety with LSD. The psychedelic drug has been banned in the U.S. for more than half a century. Drug maker MindMed tested several doses of LSD in patients with moderate to severe generalized anxiety disorder. The benefits lasted as long as 3 months. The next step is more testing. MindMed plans to also apply for Food and Drug Administration approval. Psychedelics are in the midst of a popular and scientific comeback. The FDA has designated LSD as a potential breakthrough therapy. For the study, researchers measured anxiety symptoms in nearly 200 patients who randomly received one of four doses of LSD or a placebo. Patients receiving the two highest doses had significantly lower anxiety scores than those who received a placebo or lower doses. Here's an opportunity to be a record breaker. Guinness World Records is celebrating its 70th anniversary.
Our tagline this year is be part of it.
Marco Fregatti says there is a chance for anyone to break a record.
Most t-shirts put on in a minute, for example, or the furthest flip of a water bottle, you know, the one that you go, tuck. And it has to land on its base, of course.
In all, there are 70 unclaimed records, like fastest time to make a burrito, longest marathon, playing air guitar, and most anchovies eaten in a minute. Guinness has set up a record selector.
Where you can actually answer 5 questions, and the selector will say, whoop, what kind of record breaker you may be.
There have been a lot of drone-related records recently, and Guinness is looking into AI records. They look at all kinds of achievement, as long as they're meaningful, interesting, and a degree of effort has to be made. I'm Ed Donahue.
Hey, this is Russell Wilson.
This is Joe Montana.
This is Dak Prescott.
Hey, this is Jason Kelsey, and you're listening to Rob Motti.
Rob Motti.
Rob Motti.
Rob Motti.
Welcome to the all-new On Football with me, AP NFL writer Rob Motti. The NFL regular season is here. Several great games highlight week one, including the Baltimore Ravens, Buffalo Bills playoff rematch on Sunday Night Football, and Micah Parsons and the Green Bay Packers taking on the Detroit Lions. Our first guest this week is Emmanuel Acho, former Philadelphia Eagles linebacker, who's now turned into a media superstar. Emmanuel has a unique new show with LaShawn Shady McCoy coming up on YouTube, so stay tuned. You'll hear more about that. Plus, you'll hear his top storyline entering this season. Also, ask him if he thinks anyone can dethrone the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC West and the AFC, and who could those teams be? I already mentioned Micah Parsons going to Green Bay. Quick thoughts on that blockbuster trade. Heard everyone with an opinion blasting Jerry Jones for making this trade. And I get it. Micah Parsons is a generational talent. I said that he's on a path for Canton, but the Cowboys didn't win with him. They weren't a contender, a serious Super Bowl contender, with Micah Parsons going into this season. And now they're a rebuilding team with a first-year head coach. And maybe they can take those two first-round picks they get from Green Bay, that extra salary cap space, and they can build a winning team, regain some of America's team old glory. Now, Jerry Jones is a stubborn guy. He doesn't have Jimmy Johnson making those draft picks for him, but he's also not stupid. So this could end up as a rare win-win for both teams. The Packers with Micah are instantly Super Bowl contenders. Every week I pick every NFL game straight up and against the spread on Wednesdays. This year it's going to be year 4 for me doing it. Last season I was 202-83 straight up, against the spread 151-129-5. My best bet for week 1, the Bengals -5.5 points at Cleveland. Cincinnati needs to start the season off better. They've had terrible Septembers under Zach Taylor. That's why Joe Burrow played in the preseason. The Browns are starting Joe Flacco, and it's a matter of time before we see Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders. Cleveland's in the mix for the number one pick in the draft next year. 27-16 Cincinnati. My upset special: the Las Vegas Raiders got a new head coach, Pete Carroll. They're +2.5 against New England in Gillette Stadium. It's Mike Vrabel's first game with the Patriots. Both teams, two new coaches who've accomplished quite a bit in their careers. They should be better going into this season, but Geno Smith and Ashton Jeanty instantly upgrade that Raiders offense for me. I'm taking Vegas 23-20. I highlighted the two big games, Detroit at Green Bay. Packers are -2.5 against the Lions, who won 15 games last year, yet they're underdogs in their season opener after a disappointing loss to end the best season in franchise history. Their dynamic offense, they're back together. They don't have offensive coordinator Ben Johnson. He went to the Bears. Parsons, as I said, elevates the Packers to Super Bowl contender status with Jordan Love. I've got Green Bay winning but not covering, 24-23 late field goal. And then Baltimore at Buffalo, playoff rematch. Ravens are -1.5. Lamar Jackson and Baltimore. They're looking to avenge that loss in January in Buffalo. It's a matchup that should have playoff ramifications, home field advantage standpoint down the road. You've got reigning NFL MVP Josh Allen. You've got all-pro quarterback Lamar Jackson. The Bills have won 10 straight home games, went back and forth on this one, and ultimately, I'm taking the Bills 26-23. Manuel Acho was drafted in the sixth round of the 2012 draft by Cleveland. He was traded to Philly, appeared in 20 games for the Eagles. He's now built himself a tremendous career as an author, speaker, analyst, and TV host. Here's my conversation with Emmanuel Acho.
Emmanuel, you got a new opportunity. Congratulations, a new show. Tell me how excited you are and what we can expect from this. It's a little bit different than from what most folks are used to.
Man, first, for clarity, it wasn't so much that I got a new opportunity. It's that I created a new opportunity. Ooh. And I think that's the difference in 2025. If you have to get an opportunity, that means you're waiting on somebody to give something to you. In this day and age, go create what's yours. Go take what's yours. Go take what you rightfully deserve, or at least go take what you're willing to work for. First off, I need to establish for the viewers, for the listeners, and to encourage the viewers and the listeners, don't wait for anything to be given. Create it and take it. I'm in the studio of Speakeasy Sophisticated Sports Talk. This will be my new home. I felt like, why do we still do sports television, Rob, like it's the 1980s? Same studios, same set, same desks at the same time. We're in 2025, bro. So I wanted to create a show that fits the year we're in. We're watching the games, and we're coming on immediately live in studio after the games. Soon as the game ends, Sunday night, Monday night, Thursday night, we're live on YouTube at Speakeasy. Super simple. We want to meet the fans where they are. What you're seeing on Twitter, we're going to be responding to. What you're seeing on Instagram, we're going to be responding to. Rather than waiting till the next morning to have a passionate conversation, why don't we just have the passionate conversation right then and there? So Sunday, Monday, Thursday, right after the games, then Tuesday, Wednesday, we'll go 7 p.m. Central.
So Sunday after the games, meaning after the Sunday night game or after the 1 o'clock segments, after the 4 o'clock? How you doing that?
Great question. We're going on after every primetime game. Easiest way to remember it. So if the whole world is watching, we're coming on after it. So even Friday, Chargers play the Chiefs. We'll come on after that game. Obviously, that's on a Friday. That game's playing out in Brazil. So coming on immediately after the games. And then on top of that, I think some of the win is getting players that played in the game to FaceTime in. Shady just retired 5 years ago. I retired within the last decade. So many of my friends, my little bros, if you will, they're still in the league. So rather than like some, you know, obtrusive web X, no, hit me on FaceTime, bro. We're going to FaceTime you in, FaceTime you into the cameras, and we just going to talk to you right there and then and there from the locker room, from your drive home, if you got a driver, when you get back to the crib, as you're icing your knees, you know, that's the intention of this show. It's not the big that eat the little. It's the fast that eat the slow, and we want to be the fastest and the best.
I'm going to hit you with three quick questions going into this 2025 NFL season. There is a lot of topics that a lot of people, what is to you, Emmanuel Acho, the number one storyline that intrigues you?
Personally, I believe the Eagles are the Super Bowl champs. They're the favorites to be the champs. That is, obviously, we know they were last year. So the most intriguing storyline that nobody is talking about, who is playing cornerback opposite Quinyon Mitchell? If the Eagles are a team without many weaknesses, if there was one weakness or at least one question mark, who is playing corner opposite Quinyon? That could be what limits the Eagles from getting to the Super Bowl. In a conference with the George Pickens and the CeeDee Lambs, the Devontae Adams and the Puka Nacuas, the Scary Terrys and the Deebo Samuels, in a conference where you have teams that have not just one good receiver, but two good receivers, I'm looking at the defending champs because the pendulum, they dictate it, and that position is the one we all need to watch.
If there's going to be a team that dethrones the Kansas City Chiefs' run of dominance in the AFC West and also in that AFC, in the conference, who are they going to be? One in the West and two in the conference.
In the West, it would be the Chargers because of the brand of football that they play. Chargers are an incredibly hard team to prepare for. When you play an NFL team on a given week, I would suggest you actually had about 13 weeks to prepare for that opponent. Why 13? I think you had all of your OTA practices where your base defensive installs you can apply to that week. But when you play the Chargers, none of those off-season practices based defensive installs are applicable because they run a brand of football that you don't naturally prepare for. So now you really only have about 3 to 4 days to prepare when playing the Chargers, and they're an incredibly tough team. Remember, Jim Harbaugh's second year in San Francisco, he went to the Super Bowl. This is his second year in Los Angeles. What will happen there? Team in the AFC, I like the Houston Texans. If there was a team to dethrone the Chiefs, defensively incredibly stout. Pass rush, Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson, beast. Cornerback, Derek Stingley, Kamara Lassiter, beast. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, they revamped the secondary, and then I like their linebacking core. So if anybody is the Texans, obviously they have C.J. Stroud. That would be my vote.
I wish you the best with the new show. Wish you the best in everything, man. Appreciate your time.
Rob, you the man. We'll talk soon, brother.
That's it for this week. Thank you to Emmanuel Acho, and thank you for listening to On Football. Check out my On Football analysis, pro picks, and more NFL news at apnews.com.
Listen. That's the sound of a snail crawling through a garden in Wairarapa, New Zealand. The name's Ned.
It was in the dirt, and I was about to scoop it up and just toss it off to the side when I stopped.
Giselle Clarkson found Ned and filmed Ned. It was her garden.
It was something different that I recognized immediately.
Ned's shell coils to the left instead of right. Only 1 in 40,000 common garden snails have shells that coil to the left.
So I got this lefty snail and I found a regular right-handed snail to make it clear in the photograph, because otherwise it's a little bit hard to tell which sort of snail you've got. But if you've got one next to the other one, it's really obvious.
She sent that photo to colleagues at New Zealand Geographic.
And there was just this explosion of exclamation marks. So much excitement.
Alas, for Ned, such rarity is doomed for romantic prospects.
When you have a right coiling snail and a left coiling snail, they can't slide up and get their pieces meeting in the right position. So a lefty can only mate with another lefty.
But don't despair. Giselle and her magazine are now trying to play matchmaker. I'm Ben Thomas.
Over the course of the war and strained relations with Russia, Ukrainian schools have found different ways to keep lessons going for the younger generation. One school in Bobruyk, close to the front line, moved its classrooms into a basement so students can continue to study in person. The school has just over 100 students. About 10% have already left since Russia's full-scale invasion, and more continue to depart. For a school this small, each loss is felt. 15-year-old Vladimir Mikhailovic is about to leave, moving to Austria with her 11-year-old brother. Their mother had decided the conditions had become too dangerous. Lessons underground has now become routine, she says. If you have to choose between online or in a basement, the basement's better. While Bobruyk school director Alexei Koronevsky tells the AP, we must do everything so that this generation is not lost. Whether we like it or not, this year we graduated from the 11th grade. 11 years have passed since 2014 when conditions deteriorated. Now the war's still going on. Moving schoolrooms to where it's safe or safer is just one example of how Ukrainians are adapting to keep life moving with no end in sight to Russia's grinding assault. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
In sub-Saharan Africa, old age is coming with hardship, like scarce medical care and many living in deep poverty. For nurse Winnie Ketwisije, working with Uganda's elderly is God's work.
During my secondary school, I would love to see nurses, the work they would do. And I was like, oh God, if I can also be like a nurse.
At her job with Reach One Touch One Ministries, Ketwisije travels up into the mountains by motorcycle to the villages where these often neglected elders live. In just 15 years, the number of people 60 and older has ballooned by an estimated 50% in sub-Saharan Africa. That's about 67 million people. Some advocates are warning of a coming catastrophe, with even more dramatic growth ahead. The World Health Organization projects that 163 million older people will be living in the region by 2050. Ketwisije does what she can to meet the need.
Elders or people who are getting old should also be considered as people.
I'm Haya Panjwani.
A Tunisian filmmaker's movie about a six-year-old girl killed in Gaza has debuted at the Venice Film Festival on Wednesday. The film, The Voice of Hind Rajab by Kawuthar Benhania, tells the tragic story of a six-year-old girl who was killed by Israeli soldiers in Gaza City. It uses the real audio from her distress call to the Palestine Red Crescent Society. In January 2024, six-year-old Hind, trapped inside a bullet-riddled car with dead relatives, begged for someone to rescue her. Contact was lost with the first ambulance. Hind, five family members and two medics were found dead 12 days later. The film has been selected by Tunisia as its candidate for next year's Oscars and has a slew of famous executive producers, including Brad Pitt and Joaquin Phoenix. I'm Karen Shamas.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.